Unit 3. Understanding Science.
Part 1. Pre-reading task. Listen to the recording 2 or 3 times and then think over the following questions. 1. Who is it about? 2. What questions interest him? 3. What makes his achievements so remarkable?
This unit begins with an article on science. Before you read it, let me tell you something about its author, Stephen Hawking. Hawking is perhaps the most well-known scientist since Einstein. Like Einstein, his work tackles the big questions. Questions such as, how did the universe begin? Why is the universe the way it is? And how will it end? He is now working on what is sometimes known as the theory of everything. Among other things, this promises to explain what caused the Big Bang that started the universe. But it is not simply the power of Hawking's mind that has led to his fame. For what many people find most striking about him is the contrast between the strength of his mind and the weakness of his body. For many years, Hawking has suffered from an illness that has left him unable to move and to speak normally. Born in England in 1942, Hawking had a normal childhood, and it was not until he was a student at university that his illness started to affect him. Hospital tests showed he was suffering from a disease that weakens control over the muscles. The disease gets worse with time, and there is no known cure. But Hawking did not lose heart. As he says, although there was a cloud hanging over my future, I found to my surprise that I was enjoying life more than before. I began to make progress with my research, and I got engaged to a girl called Jane Wilde. That engagement changed my life. It gave me something to live for. Hawking started research at Cambridge and went on to hold the same post that another great scientist, Newton, once held. Over the years, his condition has worsened, but even when he finally lost the ability to speak, he managed to get round the problem. He now uses a computer that enables him to select words, which are then turned into speech. The only trouble, the English scientist says, is that it gives me an American accent.
Part 2. Text A. Professor Hawking thinks it important to keep everybody in touch with what science is about. In this article, he explains why.
Public Attitudes Towards Science by Stephen Hawking. Whether we like it or not, the world we live in has changed a great deal in the last 100 years, and it is likely to change even more in the next 100. Some people would like to stop these changes and go back to what we see as a purer and simpler age. But as history shows, the past was not that wonderful. It was not so bad for a privileged minority, though even they had to do without modern medicine, and childbirth was highly risky for women. But for the vast majority of the population, life was nasty, brutish, and short. Anyway, even if one wanted to, one couldn't put the clock back to an earlier age. Knowledge and techniques can't just be forgotten, nor can one prevent further advances in the future. Even if all government money for research were cut off, and the present government is doing its best, the force of competition would still bring about advances in technology. Moreover, one cannot stop inquiring minds from thinking about basic science, whether or not they are paid for it. The only way to prevent further developments would be a global state that suppressed anything new, and human initiative and inventiveness are such that even this wouldn't succeed. All it would do is slow down the rate of change. If we accept that we cannot prevent science and technology from changing our world, we can at least try to ensure that the changes they make are in the right directions. In a democratic society, this means that the public needs to have a basic understanding of science so that it can make informed decisions and not leave them in the hands of experts. At the moment, the public is in two minds about science. It has come to expect the steady increase in the standard of living that new developments in science and technology have brought to continue. But it also distrusts science because it doesn't understand it. This distrust is evident in the cartoon figure of the mad scientist working in his laboratory to produce a Frankenstein. It is also an important element behind support for the Green parties. But the public also has a great interest in science, particularly astronomy, as is shown by the large audiences for television series such as The Sky at Night and for science fiction. What can be done to harness this interest and give the public the scientific background it needs to make informed decisions on subjects like acid rain, the greenhouse effect, nuclear weapons, and genetic engineering? Clearly, the basis must lie in what is taught in schools. But in schools, science is often presented in a dry and uninteresting manner. Children learn it by rote to pass examinations, and they don't see its relevance to the world around them. Moreover, science is often taught in terms of equations. Although equations are a brief and accurate way of describing mathematical ideas, they frighten most people. When I wrote a popular book recently, I was advised that each equation I included would halve the sales. I included one equation, Einstein's famous equation, E equals mc squared. Maybe I would have sold twice as many copies without it. Scientists and engineers tend to express their ideas in the form of equations because they need to know the precise values of quantities. But for the rest of us, a qualitative grasp of scientific concepts is sufficient, and this can be conveyed by words and diagrams without the use of equations. The science people learn in school can provide the basic framework, but the rate of scientific progress is now so rapid that there are always new developments that have occurred since one was at school or university. I never learned about molecular biology or transistors at school, but genetic engineering and computers are two of the developments most likely to change the way we live in the future. Popular books and magazine articles about science can help to put across new developments, but even the most successful popular book is read by only a small proportion of the population. Only television can reach a truly mass audience. There are some very good science programs on TV, but others present scientific wonders simply as magic, without explaining them or showing how they fit into the framework of scientific ideas. Producers of television science programs should realize that they have a responsibility to educate the public, not just entertain it. The world today is filled with dangers. Hence the sick joke that the reason we have not been contacted by an alien civilization is that civilizations tend to destroy themselves when they reach our stage. but I have sufficient faith in the good sense of the public to believe that we might prove this wrong.